Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the regular Thursday COVID brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson, and let's check to see who's on the line. Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services and the Homer Public Health Center. Do I have you on the line?
1, 2. Hi, Kathleen. You're loud and clear.
I've got you right back. Thanks for that. Also, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning to you. And Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great. Then we are all assembled. If you have any questions, listeners with any questions for the panel, you can email them to info@kbbi.org, or you can call 235-7721. And Matt is standing by to take your call and either send it in to the studio or write down your question. So let's start with Nurse Lauren Carroll, and then I'm going to go to Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital to give us an overview of the case rates and positivity rates on the Lower Kenai Peninsula and in the state of Alaska. Nurse Lauren, I know that Ketchikan is having a heck of a time right now. They're trending upward. What do the trends look like in the Lower Kenai Peninsula?
Yeah, sure thing, Kathleen. Statewide transmission rates and daily case rates have decreased to their lowest level since December 2020. So that's a good thing. But you're right, Ketchikan is having a hard time right now. And also case rates rose sharply in a southern southeast region. But rates for the entire state remain high. So we're sitting at about 10 for the entire state, and 4 regions total remain in high. But the good news is this: in regards to vaccinations, 53% of Alaskans that are 16 and older have received at least their first dose of vaccine, and almost 48% of folks 16 and older are fully vaccinated.
Terrific. Thanks for that, Nurse Lauren. And Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, can you talk a little more specifically about testing from the COVID Care Center at 4201 Bartlett Street, where free tests and vaccinations are available every day?
You bet. So for testing, we offer that 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. We're averaging around 30 to, at the most, 40 tests per day. And over the last 2 weeks, basically, we've done 801 tests, and of those, 22 were positive. That put us at a 2.7% positivity rate, pretty much the same as last time we spoke when we were at 2.8% positivity rate. And again, that's under the threshold of alarming, so that's great. As far as cases on the southern Kenai Peninsula, there have been 18 positives over the last 2 weeks on the southern Kenai Peninsula. And if you're looking at the barometer for if that's low, medium, or high, that's still in the yellow zone for case per 1,000 population.
Okay, thanks. And Dorotha, how are things at the hospital? Have we still not seen a COVID-19 patient since when was the last time? Or is there now, are there now any patients from COVID in the hospital?
There are no patients right now, and it has been since mid-March, so going on 2 months or 2 months. So that's really awesome. And go ahead.
Oh, and that's patients being and that haven't been admitted. What about treatment for COVID-19?
I do not have an update on number of folks being treated in an outpatient setting. I don't have an update handy for that. But as far as hospitalized, no hospitalizations in the last 2 months, and doing pretty good on staffing as far as very few staff being out for quarantining at this time. Vaccinations continue to be popular at the testing and vaccine site on Bartlett Street. We offer vaccines by appointment, but we also offer them daily, 7 days a week, walk in 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we are averaging there, we're averaging 15 or so a day vaccines. And we just surpassed 4,000 individuals who have been fully vaccinated through that process, as well as the, in general, the Homer Unified Command effort. So anxious for public health to give us a full snapshot of what the Southern Peninsula looks like for vaccination rates specific to the Southern Kenai Peninsula, because I really want to honor the work that so many people are doing and that individuals are doing by getting vaccinated.
Well, that sounds like a question for Nurse Lauren Carroll. Nurse Lauren, can you shed a little light on vaccination numbers and percentages for the Lower Kenai Peninsula?
Oh, yeah, sure thing. But first, I wanted to step back and chime in on the hospital from a statewide perspective. When it was last reported out, we had 23 folks that were positive for COVID that were hospitalized statewide. And so that was about 2.1% of all folks that were hospitalized had COVID or were known to have had COVID. And two of those during the last reporting day were on vents. But yeah, in regards to a vaccination, as I said earlier, about 47 to 48% of people statewide 16 and older are fully vaccinated. So that's about 276,000 Alaskans are fully vaccinated. And then in terms of Kenai Peninsula Borough, about 41% of folks that are 16 and older are fully vaccinated. And just to give a little comparison to that 41% in Kenai Peninsula Borough, Juneau is sitting at about 69%. And YK Delta is sitting at 63% of people that are 16 years of age and older who have been completely vaccinated. And down here on Southern Kenai Peninsula, we're up about 300 doses from last time, and another 163 additional folks are vaccinated for a grand total of 5,862 people in Southern Kenai Peninsula have been fully vaccinated, or almost 40%.
Thanks. That's Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center and the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. I have a few questions stacking up in email. You can email questions to info@kbbi.org or call 235-7721. I want to switch over to Jenny Carroll, Information Officer for the City of Homer, because protocols for masking at City Hall have changed a little bit, or have they?
They actually have not changed.
Can you go over that with me?
Yeah, you know, everyone heard, as we did, at the new CDC guidance for fully vaccinated individuals came out late last week, that fully vaccinated people can resume activities without wearing a mask or physical distancing, except where required by federal, state, local, or local business and workplace guidance. So city administration met to talk over the new guidance and how that might change the city face covering policy in public buildings and in the workplace. After all the considerations, the masking continues to be required for public buildings when entering city public facilities. So that means the City Hall lobby, the library, Harbor Master Office, HERC, etc. The city offers free face coverings at the entries to these buildings if you need it. Masks are also required for our staff, regardless of vaccination status, when we're interacting with the public as part of our job duties. The CDC guidance for businesses, employers has not changed, and that has been our policy. It takes into consideration a couple of things. Many people, as we've just heard in the statistics that Dorotha and Lauren gave, are still unvaccinated. Vaccines aren't yet authorized for children under 12 years of age. There are immune compromised individuals. There are people who just don't, for one reason or another, don't get the vaccine. And our city facilities are open to the public. And as such, we feel like masks are a simple measure to protect those in our community who are more vulnerable to serious illness. And it helps make the public facilities open and accessible to all. And as an employer, we also have an obligation to maintain a safe workplace for employees, so that we have healthy, productive employees here as well. So, right now, no change to the City of Homer's public face covering requirements and for our employees as well.
And as far as I understand it, the city is still waiting on the cameras to come in to upgrade Cole's council chambers. So,
yep, that's we still- are, just like many supply chains around the country are experiencing this, anywhere from police vehicles all the way down. It is a it's a long wait for materials these days, and I'm really sorry that the timing has worked out that way, but that's what we are up against at this point.
Yeah, the wait is long, especially for tech, and I'll be very grateful when hand sanitizer no longer smells like tequila. The people who work it. So you are usually, Jenny Carroll, you are usually my go-to to talk about applications for aid and that sort of thing. I know that something just passed in the Senate on Monday, but it still has to pass the House and be signed by the governor. Senator Tom Begich from Anchorage has set up a bill that would fund through 2024 for students who were essential workers or laid off during COVID-19 to apply for grants to get tuition paid for post-secondary schools and for Alaska colleges. But that still has a lot of hoops to jump for. Is there anything, are there any aid programs that are open right now for application?
The only one that I know of currently is what we talked about last week, which is the Emergency Broadband Benefit. And that's a federal program through the Federal Communications Commission. It's a temporary program for households who are impacted financially due to COVID-19. You either are a low-income family or you have had considerable income loss due to COVID-19. You can apply through your provider, meaning your internet service provider. The program provides a discount of up to $50 a month towards your broadband service bills, and you can also get $100 one-time credit on a purchase of a device, so a laptop, desktop computer, tablet, whatever you're using to access that broadband. If you need that from your provider, you can get a one-time $100 discount on that through the program. So you can go to the City of Homer website to look at the nitty-gritty details. That is cityofhomer-ak.gov. And there on our main page, there is a link. And on that link, there's a link to the FCC webpage. There's a phone number, 833-511-0311, that you can call for more information. I have a YouTube video up there and a slide presentation from the FCC about the program. So you can get all the information you need with a single click to the City of Homer website that can take you to all the other resources out there.
Thanks. That's Jenny Carroll, Information Officer for the City of Homer. Here's a question that just came in to info@kbbi.org. I'm going to send this one to Nurse Lauren, but everybody else feel free to jump in. It's from Vivian, who says, with no state mandates currently, what are your recommendations for people visiting from outside? My husband and I are fully vaccinated, but some visitors are not. Should they be allowed to stay in our home? Do they need to get tested after traveling?
That's a good question. You know, the easy answer is if you can take on a mitigation measure to keep yourself and others more safe, then why not? And that's a good question to ask. Excuse me. But in regards to being fully vaccinated, that's great. And that means in most cases you could go without a mask, especially if you're with other vaccinated people. But yeah, CDC says it's okay to mix in with one other group of folks in a household that is not vaccinated. But I would consider wearing a mask as well, or other lodging if it's possible.
Okay, thanks for that, Nurse Lauren. Dorotha, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, one thing I would like to remind people is that testing is offered 7 days a week, daily. Testing is open to anybody pretty much for any reason. And that is still a pretty good post-travel activity to get tested about maybe up to 5 days after you've been in a large group setting or in a poorly ventilated area, or if you've been with a lot of people, don't have masks on, and you have no idea what their vaccination status is. You can 5 days after that go get tested, and maybe that can help a little bit with a peace of mind as well after you've been unexpectedly with a group of unknowns.
Thanks so much. That's Dorotha Ferraro, spokesperson for South Peninsula Hospital. I'm going to stay with Nurse Lorne and possibly Dorotha. Maybe Jenny has something to weigh in on this one. This one came in on my voicemail. The library, it's about the Homer Public Library, and it said the library is blowing cold air on people, and it made the caller very uncomfortable and felt like it was a way to keep people, to make people leave the library in order to make them uncomfortable so that it wouldn't get too crowded. And so I was wondering, Nurse Lauren or Jenny, can we talk about the ventilation system in the library, and especially to Nurse Lauren after that, the importance of ventilation in mitigating the spread of COVID? So Jenny, can you talk a little bit about the way the library is running its mitigation practices?
Well, I would like to start off by saying we've been very excited to be able to open the doors to the public at the library, and our mitigation measures are set up to protect people who are coming in. So we are not, there's no purposeful making purpose in making the environment uncomfortable for anyone. I appreciate getting the feedback that it's cool in there. There are systems there for moving air and ventilating. So I will pass this information on to the director of the library and public works so they can work on that, so that people are not that uncomfortable. And I'm sorry about that in the library. So we will look into that. But there is definitely no purposeful trying to make the library environment uncomfortable. We welcome people to the library. We think it's a great service and outlet for folks. So thanks for the feedback. I will look into that with the appropriate employees to make sure that we can address that.
Thanks so much. And Nurse Lorne, my understanding, my reading over the last several months has, I believe the data shows that ventilation is one of the most important ways to keep the virus from spreading. Do I have that right?
Oh yeah, I guess I would say that's part of the puzzle there. And in regards to preventing the transmission of the virus from one person to the next, I guess the take-home message would be it's a team effort. There's kind of three major things that have to occur or to consider. One would be the virus has to be there. The second one, there needs to be a host that is susceptible or a person that could get the virus. And then the next is the environment. And so, in regards to the items that we can control, for the folks that are going to the library, two things might be to mask up and get vaccinated or consider vaccination if you hadn't already. But yeah, in regards to tools to improve ventilation, there's a lot of them, and CDC does a good job of outlining them. Just to give you a hint of what some of those are, and the list is long, would be increase the introduction of outdoor air. And then using fans to increase the effectiveness of open windows. And then also the use of exhaust fans, ensuring that they're working properly.
Thanks so much. And I imagine
Yeah,
that as things get warmer, it's going to be less of an uncomfortable thing. But Jenny
right.
Carroll from the City of Homer.
Yeah, we have instituted that at particularly the HERC. If anyone's in the HERC, part of the mitigation measures were getting fans to be able to move and exhaust air through that facility since people are really working out in there and moving. So probably less of an issue there for people who are really active. But that is one of the measures that the city has taken in several public facilities to help reduce mitigation, or to, excuse me, reduce transmission.
Thanks so much. That's Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer. I'm going to go back to Nurse Lorne Carroll from the Department of Health and Social Services because this question that came through on my voicemail is about DHSS data. So there was a data hack, and a lot of data from DHSS was stolen. And that's not up for dispute. But the question is, how is the hack of DHSS data affecting people and their health data? What, Nurse Lauren, can you go over what was
to report, except that that cyber attack is still under assessment on both the state and the federal levels. And when there's more information to share, you'll find it online or perhaps on the radio.
Thanks so much. That's Nurse Lauren Carroll. And Nurse Lauren, I don't know if you can address this one or not, but I try to ask every question that comes in. This one says, Governor Dunleavy gave out data on vaccinations that was incorrect this week. He was trying to encourage tourism in the state of Alaska, and he gave numbers that were higher, vaccination rates that were higher than what DHSS puts out. So any clues? The question is, where is the governor getting his info, and why does it differ from DHSS data? Any ideas?
You know, I can't speak directly to that, but that's not surprising in regards to data management or data stewardship. It's more of a process of continuing to refine the data. And actually, let me backstep. I think I may have misspoken earlier when I was talking about Southern Kenai Peninsula rates. So let me just retouch on that again.
Good. Yeah, go for that.
I think I mentioned, and thank you, Dorotha, she's helping me here on the side. Southern Kenai Peninsula, we've administered 11,606 doses, and that's 5,862 completed folks. But there's no mechanism for us to report on if those were 100% of folks coming from Southern Kenai Peninsula or living down here. Some of those folks are out of town or perhaps even out of state.
Thanks, Nurse Lauren. And Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, I'm going to come back to everybody for final comments in a moment, but I want to stick with Dorotha here for a moment because I like to begin and end every regular Thursday COVID brief with information about how you can get a vaccine today and in the coming days. The last time we spoke on Monday, there was a schedule for which vaccines are available on which days, so that people who are 12 years old and up know what day they can get the vaccine. People who want the single dose know what day they can get the vaccine. Can you go over that with the listeners?
Yes, happy to. So what I'll speak about is at the COVID clinic on Bartlett Street, but we are just one location of where you can get vaccinated on the Southern Peninsula. There's many opportunities at the pharmacies, local health clinics, and more. So specific to the COVID clinic on Bartlett Street, it's Moderna Monday. So that's just an easy way to remember it, that if you're interested in Moderna, Moderna vaccine is available on Mondays, and only Moderna and Janssen. And then Tuesday through Sunday, or basically all other days except Monday, is Pfizer and Janssen. And Pfizer is the only brand that is authorized for 12 years and older. So if you are in the 12 to 18 range, you do not want to come on Mondays. You want to come all other days except Monday. Walk-ins are welcome, but you can also set an appointment, and the appointments are online at sphosp.org. And but like I said, walk-ins are welcome. And we also will be doing what is called a pop-up or a remote clinic out on the spit, and that will be next Thursday, a week from today, next Thursday from 10 to 2, and we will have both Pfizer and Janssen at that event, and that'll be at the Boathouse Pavilion, and that is Ramp 2, near Ramp 2 of the harbor.
Thanks so much.
For those that are getting vaccinated who are under 18, we do need parental consent or guardian consent, and that paperwork is on the website as well as at the locations. Also, right next to that on our website is a letter that Dr. Zink, our chief medical officer for the state of Alaska, that Dr. Zink wrote to parents in the state of Alaska just to consider in regards to making vaccine decisions. It's a nice letter that might give you food for thought that maybe as a parent you hadn't considered up until this point. So feel free to take a look at that as well.
Thanks so much. And to remind people, it is the Pfizer vaccine that is approved for ages 12 and up. And the Janssen vaccine is the single dose vaccine. The others are two dose vaccines. And the other thing I have one more question in my queue. Nurse Lauren or Dorotha or both, the Janssen vaccine was the one that was pulled from the market and then put back into use. Is it recommended for women over 40? Because at first when it was put back into use, it was said it's safe to use, but women over 40 would be cautioned not to, to use a different method. Is that still in play?
I guess I would say of these answers, yes, Janssen's recommended for that age group. And if you have any questions, contact your medical provider, or the other two vaccines are incredibly effective as well.
Great. Thanks a lot. And Nurse Lauren Carroll, is there anything else that you want to add before we wrap up for the morning?
Oh, sure. Maybe just a couple things. I would just say that the mRNA and viral COVID vaccines, viral vector vaccines like Janssen, they work like a recipe to like tell your immune system how to look for the COVID virus and kill it. And that's how they work. And the mRNA, your body uses that all the time. And a lot of that is eliminated within a couple hours. So the mRNA COVID vaccines are doing their work for a couple to 3 days, and then they're totally eliminated from your body, never to be seen again until you get your next and last vaccine. Then it's in there for about 2 to 3 days, and then it's completely eliminated, never to be seen again. And then 14 days after that or so, then you're considered fully vaccinated. And I guess I would just end with one last thing, is that 98% of all hospitalizations to date that were COVID-related were people that were unvaccinated. So that would be an important consideration when trying to answer the question, is COVID vaccine right for me and my family?
Thanks so much. That is Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center and the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. Jenny Carroll, Information Officer for the City of Homer, have we left anything off your list today to talk about?
Well, I wanted to swing back around to the locations for vaccinations. There are many locations to get your vaccination, and one may be right for you. It may be where you can connect with your healthcare provider to ask the questions that you have about it. So we will be distributing that master list around to on our websites and hopefully around to businesses or different places in town for people to see the wide variety of places on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. And also, if people have accessibility problems, like you just don't know how to get into get a vaccine, or you have other barriers to accessing the vaccine, I encourage you to reach out to public health nurses so that we can start understanding how we can better distribute vaccines to get them to the people who need and want them, but for some reason have a barrier. So please feel free to reach out to the public health nurses. And I'm going to let Lauren give the phone number, because my home phone number is very close to the public health office one, and I'm afraid I'll give out my own phone number if I do. Try to reiterate it. What's your phone number, Lauren?
The public health nurses and the office assistant is 235-8857. That's 235-8857. Or just stop by. We're down here across the street from Two Sisters Bakery on Bishop's Beach.
And I'm going to ask Dorotha Ferraro for any final comments. But first, I want to remind people that no matter where you get this vaccine, vaccinations and tests are at no cost. Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, is there anything you'd like to add this morning?
Yes, just a reminder that even though some masking guidelines are changing nationwide, nothing has changed at the hospital or hospital-owned clinics. It is still mandatory masking for everybody working here as well as receiving care. So thank you for your understanding and adhering to that.
Okay, thanks. That's Dorotha Ferraro, Spokesperson for South Peninsula Hospital, Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, and Jenny Carroll, Information Officer for the City of Homer. I want to remind everybody that if you want to make an appointment or come in, just let them know you're coming in for a vaccination or a COVID-19 test at the COVID Care Center at 4201 Bartlett Street. Or if you just want to speak to a COVID nurse and get your questions answered, the number to call is 235-0235. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. This has been the regular Thursday COVID brief. You can find this later this afternoon posted on our website, kbbi.org. Thanks to all the panelists and to everyone who called or emailed in with questions.